Bam Bam Bigelow. Close enough, right? Episode 5, ladies and gentlemen, Wisdom for the Way podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. Hopefully trending on iTunes and very popular in the health category.
Insane wrestler.
Bam Bam Bigelow. Bam Bam Bigelow, he had head tats. Yeah. I think he died recently.
Like in the past. Did he have flames on his
head? No, he had flames on his head. He had flame tats on his head. Do you know what I was just realizing before I just pressed record? How simple of a human I am. Do you know how simple I am? Do you know my greatest favorite things to do in life are yelling and dancing? Because I just did both of those things and I feel great.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
No, life is good.
How can we start a focus group? Laughing yoga, screaming yoga, dancing yoga.
Dancing yoga would be good. Yeah.
And it's got to be all just funky disco music.
And you'll lead it.
I would love to lead it.
If you come to Friday Meditations at 7th Chakra on 17th Ave, 645, you can lead that.
Can I dance if I go?
Yes. So how you start the meditation is you have to dance. So before you
go... What kind of music's playing?
No music.
Ah!
Yeah. But it's a stretching, but you do a lot of dancing and shaking. And you could do it. You could lead it. You could be the leader.
Damn it.
Yeah?
So much to do.
There's your to-do. There it is. Friday night meditation, 645, 7th Chakra, 17th Ave.
I need to quit one of my jobs and focus more on our lives. Podcasting and dancing. That's all I want to do.
You'd be good at it, though.
I'd be fun. Because
we can make money at this, right?
I would like
pay the bills.
I would like to think that I'm probably more energetic than most people there.
I'm going to say yeah.
I was going to say, if you're going to say no, I say challenge accepted. I'm so simple. So that's homework now. I have to go to this yoga or what?
Meditation.
Okay, I have to meditate on Friday. Yeah. I'm not going to be a good meditator.
But it's right on 17th Ave, so you can go connect to Source, and then you're right there to have a pop wobbly pop on the patio.
Okay, yeah. Done. So that's Friday.
Friday.
And Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, Zach and I are challenging ourselves. So after a few podcasts ago, the best part about the podcast is Zach and I's constructive criticism debriefs after.
Yeah.
These are turning into late evenings.
Yes, yeah.
I go come home late at night with stained red wine teeth. We are, so on Thursday, the thing that we're trying to work on is to make this, I guess, more organic and, you know, to flow a little more fluidly for our listeners.
Yeah.
And to learn some skills along the way. Where does one go when they want to learn how to talk better?
To master the toast.
We're going to go to Toastmasters. Right. So like the ignorant dummies we are, we hit the Google machine. And we start looking up Toastmasters. And it just, you know, it goes by your location or whatever. So we're sifting through these guys. And this is an extreme organization.
Yeah.
Like there's branches upon branches upon branches. So we're looking at groups. You know, these guys have been around for a few years. These guys have been around since 03, blah, 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 blah. And we come across the Inglewood Toastmasters.
Elks.
Oh, the Elks Club. Elks Club. Sorry. Yeah, Elks yeah. Club Toastmasters. Been around since 1960.
You!
So they're old wily vets. These two ignorant, dumb young bucks are going to walk in there like cock of the walk.
2-hour session.
Yeah, it's a 2-hour session. And we can, an optional $22 dinner.
What are you going to talk about?
I need to talk about something that these people have never even heard about.
Huh. I.e.
yelling and dancing.
We're going to get booted. We're going to get booted from Toastmasters.
The thing that I would like to do is to sit there quietly, all seriousness, learn, try not to speak very much.
Yeah.
But that's fucking impossible for me.
Yeah.
Little Sunday tradition with my family is we always watch Survivor.
And oh, yeah? I've always... Is that still on?
Yeah. Okay. It just ended.
Oh, good. Who won?
Cochran.
Okay.
He's a little nerdy guy. Good for him. So anyway, my brother-in-law fucking called me out on this. I'm like, you know, if I was ever on Survivor, the people that usually win usually just sneak by for the first few weeks and they don't really say much. He's like, I would play that angle.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. Bullshit. The first day you'd know everyone's name and know what they do and like, hi, I'm Lane. I do this. Blah, 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 blah.
That's you though, hey?
Yeah. Yeah. And that angle would get me kicked off in the first week.
Yeah. Yeah. Toastmasters, we're going to do it.
Yeah, so we'll report back. But yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. I think it's going to be great.
So we're just going to be amazing public speakers after this or what?
Yeah, one session.
One session?
Done.
One and done.
We'll start our own one.
One hit wonders.
Next one.
Yeah.
No, but in all seriousness, it'll be fun to meet some other people and get some more insight. But we're going to go into it. You know, we're not hiding anything. Like, most people are there, you know, they work in manager positions or, you know, they want to MC events and stuff. And we're there because we have a podcast. And that's the angle we can play. Talk about podcasts and... I don't know if they'll be as educated as Dale.
But they'll be like, a pod what?
Yeah, what?
Yeah. That was me 4 weeks ago. A pod what?
Yeah, it's going to be sweet. So we'll probably bang out a podcast right after that.
That'd be awesome.
Where everything's still fresh. And maybe we'll bring a guest back.
We'll pick up a dude at Toastmasters. Bring him back. That'll be fun.
So Zach's tweeting a little bit. And
I tweeted.
He's a tweeter.
I tweeted twice.
So, sweet thing that I like about Twitter, and this is just me being a simple human, are pictures.
Yeah.
But a new little trend, I think it's kind of retweeted through Tumblr. You know what Tumblr is?
Yeah.
So people post like pictures and blogs and stuff. And the sweet thing that I like about that is they'll put like a, you know, relatively well-edited artsy picture and then some cool quotes on front.
Right.
I want to be one of those persons.
Ah.
People's is dudes.
Yeah.
So I think I came up with a quote.
Huh. This is a Zimminum? A Zim?
Be careful how you spell that because you're going to have to hashtag it on Twitter later.
Yeah.
So I can't even remember how I thought of this. I think I thought of it when we were talking about like goals and drives and determination. And I've always thought about this. What, not to get all spiritual and stuff, but what would you like to happen as a review of your life when you die in the afterlife?
Oof.
Yeah, that's a tough question. That's way too deep, Blake. Wow. Here's what I would like.
Okay, yeah.
I would like a montage of my life.
Yeah.
So the reason I thought of this is I was trying to think about what... So say I want to live till I'm 97, 102, whatever. I want to live a long, long time.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think what would define me when I'm a pile of dust.
Yeah.
And I was trying to weigh if it's one or two or, say, five significant things or 300 little things.
Right.
Blaine always did this.
Yeah.
Every time I saw him, he was doing this.
Yeah.
Or Blaine is famous for doing this.
Yeah.
So then this is how the quote came out. It's not why or how. It's what and how many.
Huh. Blaine Zimmer.
Bam, bam.
Say it one more time.
So it's not why or how, it's what and how many. So it's not why did I, in 10 years, pursue a post-secondary education in videography and start directing documentaries.
Right.
It's not why I did it. It's not how I did it. It's what I did.
Yeah.
And then the other side of it is how many times did you do it?
Right. And so that'll be your legacy. You want that?
Not necessarily mine, but I think that's a good way to look at things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can I put that on my vision board that I haven't made yet?
Yes, of course. That'd be perfect.
Yeah, dude. See? I really like that.
And look at you right now. You're wearing yellow. Concrete. Cemented.
Oh, yeah.
Really good color for this.
And this is a fluke because my life is in shambles because we're half packed, half unpacked.
But you need it more than ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good quote. I like it.
Done. You're going to tweet it later with a hashtag.
I just...
But that's how I work, dude. I work on quotes and summaries and
simple
things. You're a little more complex.
I'm a little more complex. But you know what? That's why, like, a lot of the things, like, with all the different things that I studied for meditation and things like that, the simple ones were the more easier ones to get into.
Stepping stone. Dip your foot in the water.
Guided meditation, someone to sit there, tell you what to do, what to feel, what to watch, and things like that. But, like, the ones that felt the best for me were moving meditation. To be able to move your... And I kind of touched on this before.
I could get down on that.
But one of the best ones I felt was a place called Jirung, which is in Chiang Mai. And JirungHealthVillage.com. If you go to their website, you can take a look. And they've got a kind of a step process. But they use what you would... you would love it. Because they utilize body movement and music.
Oh!
For a meditation.
Sign me up!
Instead of... Home.
Yeah, dude, I'm too fidgety.
You know?
I think I don't want to say it won't work for me, but I'm way too fidgety.
Yeah, But you still need to find your center point.
Be mindful.
Yeah. So how it works is I went with a group of people first, and they kind of ease you into it, right? And so they put you in, like, these orange and green outfits. All the women wear orange outfits, and all the men wear gray outfits. And I was like, oh, shit, I joined a cult. Like, I was like, I don't, like, you're going to, 5 years from now, I'm going to just, like, wake up in the forest and be like, what?
Yeah, I shouldn't have drank the fishbowl.
Yeah. So then their steps, so they lead you into it. So they start by, you run in a circle, walk in a circle, run in a circle, walk in a circle, run in a circle, walk in a circle.
Can you back up a tiny bit?
Yep.
First walk in to this facility, okay. Yeah. How does the process begin?
So, like I said, I was with a group, but they show you a DVD of what's going to happen to you, basically.
Do they care why you're there?
The English Thai barrier is too much to overcome. So if you came with anxiety issues,
yeah.
To be honest, it doesn't really matter what issue you come with.
The end goal is the same.
It's exactly the same. You're going to have to work through your own shit, you know?
Understood.
But it's scary because they watch you, they put this on a DVD, and when you watch it on TV, you're like, I am not doing that. That's crazyville, because it's pretty in-depth, and I'll kind of go through the steps of what they show you. So you're in your orange outfits, you're in a cult, and then you've got, you know, what you would wear to sleep.
Eye cover things?
Yeah. So, like the blackout things, and it's just to kind of not be distracted by what's going on around you. So I think by that point, so it's all padded walls, padded floor.
What?
Padded, and you're in a temple. And
right.
So they basically put you in here, press this button, and it's this music. And you're just supposed to listen to the music and allow your body to respond. And I was just, like, sitting there. I'm like, I paid $2,000 for this to come over here and to be listening to shaking music. And I was just listening. And then my body started to move. And I was just like, what? You know? And started shaking uncontrollably, shaking my whole body. But I can't see anything. And the loudspeaker, it's like you're in a huge auditorium in the temple.
Right.
And you can't hear anything. Padded walls. Orange jumpsuit, middle of the craziness, right? So shaking, as soon as the shaking, so you've got a person that's behind you that's taking care. So there's people, some people start screaming, some people start releasing any sort of pent up emotions and things like that. I'm like, I don't know if I buy into this, I don't know if I buy into this. Anyways, the idea behind this meditation is that the ultimate goal is using the power of spinning. So like a helicopter, the faster the blade spin, it eventually beats the pull of gravity and you start to lift off. And you start to create, you're not bound by that gravitational pull. So the idea is that all disease, all blockages in your body, energy blockages create disease. And I've said this before, but their idea is that when you spin fast enough, that you create enough chi that it goes through these in your meridians in your body. It moves these blockages out, and it comes out sweating, crying, laughing, vomiting, diarrhea.
Yeah.
Like it just, when it comes, you know? And so first step was standing and walking.
Did you poo?
I'll get there. Standing and walking, shaking. And then you start spinning. So they sit you down and you start spinning. And you start spinning like a crazy person. Like you're like a top of a...
Oh, so you're just sitting on your butt but rotating?
Rotating, exactly. And it feels like a crazy thing. Shoot, I should have backed up, okay?
Go ahead.
In Bangkok, when I first arrived in Bangkok, I landed there and I thought I was seasick because we went out, we did a river cruise. And the whole room was spinning. The whole room was spinning. I'd go back to my hotel room and I was just like, what's going on? And it felt like, you know, the first time you drank and the whole room just keeps spinning, spinning. And I couldn't, the only way I'd come out and if I sat down on the ground, I'd feel like on the grass, I'd feel a little bit better. Anyways, next day we flew to Chiang Mai. They take us to Crazyville where they put all this stuff on you. And they start teaching me to spin. So they start moving. As soon as I started moving, the nausea went away. As soon as I started moving with what I felt instead of going against it, which was bizarre because I was just like, this was all new to me. I didn't know any of this stuff. I thought we were going to go and practice Qigong around a pool and drink drinks with umbrellas in it, and then that would be it. And now I'm know, in this place. So anyways, so you start spinning, and Blaine, it's insane because you listen to music, you have someone guiding you to a certain extent, but it's all about listening to your own body, what you need, what you want to do, that sort of thing. And it's explosive. I would wake up, what they did is they built personal pyramid meditation centers. So there's five pyramids, and they believe the power of spin as well as the power of a pyramid, which if you look into pyramids, obviously there's some crazy information that goes along with that.
The Illuminati.
So it's insane, and I'll post some of these pictures on Twitter, because I'm on Twitter now, of meditation in these private meditation or private pyramids. And you would have these people, and I would vomit for maybe 30 minutes straight, just complete release of all this junk. And it doesn't matter what it was or what it was from, but it was just release. And while I'm vomiting, I'm like, why am I vomiting? I don't know why this is happening. Why am I crying? But at the same time, it didn't matter, you know? And so you continue to do it. And so for between 4 to 6 months, I would do it every day for about 8 hours a day of just complete dedication to this. And it was pretty cool. But at the same time, I was like, I don't know if this is for me, you know? And so my symptoms started getting worse. And there's something called Kundalini. I don't know if you've looked into Kundalini, but Kundalini is an energy that's at the base of your spine, and everybody has it. And there's something called Kundalini awakening, which can happen in a good situation, like the birth of your firstborn child.
Woo!
Some people feel this burning sensation up the back of their spine that comes up, and it's just from an enlightening experience, an experience that you can't, it's just once in a lifetime, and it can awaken. And what comes with it is a lot of good feelings, a lot of good emotions, but something called Kundalini syndrome. So if you got in a car accident and your Kundalini got awakened, you're not ready for it. And Kundalini syndrome can come with a lot of bad things, depression, forgetfulness, really bad emotional states, withdrawing, becoming a recluse, all these things, because your body's not ready for this type of energy to be released.
Right.
So Google Kundalini awakening, Google Kundalini syndrome, and it's a really cool thing. Anyways, I started having some of these symptoms.
Positive or negative?
Negative. So my stutter went away. I started to feel better. All my stomach issues that I was having, the surgery that I had was starting to get better. And then it got way worse, way worse, way worse. And so I didn't know what Kundalini was, but I ran into a lady from San Francisco, actually, which kind of she's the reason I applied to that school, blah, blah, blah. She said, you should really look into Kundalini. Anyway, so at that time, I started saying, I got to listen to my intuition. I got to listen to what comes into my life and follow it, right? So I found got on the Google machine, like, as you say, and I found someone that specialized in Kundalini awakening in Chiang Mai. So I got on my little scooter, which had a white wicker basket on the front, and white, and it was pretty much a girl bike. And I drove. It took me 4.5 hours to find this lady's house. I had no clue where I was, and arrived at her place. Walked into her kitchen. I was like, you need to teach me about Kundalini awakening. I was just trying to follow. And she's like, would you mind getting out of my kitchen? And I was just like, okay. But I thought it was like a center to study meditation. She's like, no, this is my home. So anyway, she said, come back tomorrow. So I went back the next day. And we sat across from each other. And we sat in our seats. And she was amazing at reading. She said, the only way that you can understand other people is if you understand yourself first, right? And so I was like, I don't know what that means. And she said, learn to follow your own energy. So she said, I can read, and I can, she was a clairvoyant, so she could see my energy. And she taught me, and this is going to be sound weird to some people, and if some people, it might be too far out there. But anyways, she was able to allow me to read her own energy and follow her own energy. And so when I was doing it, I was pretty convinced that she had poisoned the water, because I was like, I'm in the middle of nowhere in the forest. I've got my girl bike to get me back to Chiang Mai that I don't even know is going to work. And now this lady has put something in my water because I'm seeing crazy things. And what she taught me to do is once you ground yourself, once you kind of sit into the comfortable of your own skin, and if you have awakened some of this energy inside of you, it just means that you have more to give. And so for me, I was able to start reading her energy. I could follow her energy. I could see the energy. It would just be I could start to see her aura. I could start to see the energy around her. I couldn't see colors. I couldn't see anything crazy. But then, and this is kind of when it gets a little weird, her face would start to change. And I was just like, now I'm on acid. I was just like, now this is when you wake up 5 years from now and you're completely screwed. And she would say, what do you see? What, talk to me, figure it out, that sort of thing. But you would be in the state. We would sit and you couldn't. So in order to do so, your feet had to be on the ground. You couldn't have your legs crossed. You couldn't have your arms crossed. All your energy had to be centered. You couldn't even have your arms on your legs.
Yeah, just like natural anatomical position.
Yeah. And she put a jar in the middle and she said, anytime you look away from my eyes, you have to put 100 baht in it. Which is like $3.
$3, yeah.
So, and it's awkward, right? Like when you're with someone, to maintain eye contact for a lengthy amount of time, at least in our world, it's awkward, right?
So
you look
awkward.
Away,
you blink,
you know, it's just not. So to maintain that for 4 hours, upwards of 4 hours, and just sit there and stare at her, of course weird stuff's going to happen because it's just not normal, you know? So anyway, she would allow me to connect to her energy. And I would start seeing stuff. So her hair would grow long. And people are going to think I'm crazy at this point, but whatever, that ship has sailed a long time ago. And her face would change. So I was just like, what the fuck is this? You know, like, and she never gave me a straight answer. She would say whether it's I was seeing her past lives, whether it was, a reflection of who I am, I was seeing in her, all that sort of thing. But anyways, so we would sit there and stare at each other for 4 hours. And then she would take me to this mat and she would attempt to awaken my kundalini. And so she would get you in these crazy funky positions. I would end up in my underwear. And so, she would say, follow. So you'd have to connect to your animal instinct, right? So, you know, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, but all of a sudden I'm like, I don't know. I feel like an elephant. I'm an elephant, you know? And so you'd start moving like an elephant. So we're in this meditation center, walking around like an elephant. I'm in my underwear, and she's riding on my back. So she's
like
she's,
a piggyback?
Like, no, like,
oh, you're
like
on
I'm
all
fours.
Fours,
and she's riding me around. Like,
I assume she was a small human?
A fairly small human, yeah. But I don't know. But, at the time, you're not trying to judge it. You're just trying to allow it to happen. And not just like you took your shirt off right now. I'm not affected by that right now, you know? So I'm in the middle of the forest with a tiny Asian woman riding on my back as I'm walking around like an elephant. But you know what? I felt really friggin' good after, you know?
That's amazing, dude.
So weird stuff, you know? But again, like when I showed other gurus that I was learning under that time, I would show pictures because they're all kind of fairly clairvoyant. And they'd be like, they'd put down, kind of in getting back to Kumari that we watched the other day, they put down each other. So they would say, no, she doesn't know what she's teaching. She's very angry. You can see it in her eyes. The other people would say, no, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know? And it's so hard to find the truth. Is the truth being naked, riding around like an elephant? I don't know, but I'll try it.
Yeah,
you know?
Dude.
Is it seeing strange energy in people that you can't understand? Nor does it make sense now. You know, I'm back in Calgary doing, and to be honest, you know, like I do see certain things in people now that I can't explain, nor do I want to explain, nor do I talk about this unless I'm on a podcast, apparently, but because it doesn't fit into our society, right? And it's strange, but it's really cool. Really, really neat stuff. And once you get a little taste of it, you want more and more more. And I don't know how I got far down this trail, but there's so many things out there. Like a moving meditation, a spinning meditation. You vomit, you ride around, and you know what? You can learn a lot about yourself.
The one...
Ah!
You said it! That was actually the conversation Zach and I had about 3 months ago that more or less stemmed this whole thing.
Yeah.
So, and the awkward thing about it, the thing that we're trying to do here is create an easier segue into modern day living with that. And I don't think that truth will relieve itself, or reveal itself for quite some time, but hopefully it does one day.
Yeah.
The closest association actually mentioned this to you the other day. Have you heard of those ayahuasca ceremonies or peyote?
Yeah.
And seriously, dude, every single fucking thing you explained is exactly the same.
Yeah.
But that's doing it naturally.
So there was a fighter that you talked about.
There's tons of fighters that have done it. So for those out there that don't know ayahuasca, I think it's mainly in Peru what guys are doing. And they found a way. It's something about your brain. It's more or less a natural psychedelic. So they somehow, I think it's from the acacia bush. They somehow extract it's either the bark or the root. And it's kind of like kava in Fiji. Kava is like a dirt drink that calms you and relaxes you in Fiji. I've had it. Quite enjoyable.
Yeah.
Different effects than this one. So they kind of refine it. I think it's into a drink or you basically eat the bark. Exactly same situation as you. So you're in a controlled environment in the forest, in Peru, in the jungle. And a group of people sign up. And people sign up for all reasons. So that's the reason why I asked you to back up and figure out why are people there.
Oh, okay.
So because of because of the language barrier there, and it's probably similar in Peru. I don't know if they ask or know why.
Yeah.
But I guess how it started is it really helped addicts. Heroin addiction mainly. And basically, it's supposed to be a hellish experience as far as the actual process, be it the physical symptoms.
Yeah.
So you're sick the whole time. You do it for 4 days, I think, or 3 days. You're supposed to not have any red meat or not have any alcohol in your system for like 30 days before, you know, relatively a pure diet. And so you're fully, you know, supervised. And these people are having the most outrageous, I don't want to say psychedelic, but these out-of-body experiences.
Yeah.
So lots of fighters have been going, you know, big into professional sports now as mind coaches and figuring out how to separate yourselves from everyone else.
Yeah.
So these people go to this, and the reason I said it's the most horrible experience is because apparently during these ceremonies, they're forced to have the worst conversation they've ever had in their lives with their close family members and their friends and themselves. Hmm. And he said, who was the first fighter that did it? I think it was, well, Dan Hardy just got back. He's a British fighter in the UFC. And he was saying, and like all the other ones I've listened to, you're having this out-of-body experience. So say I take this. I'm in this ceremony. So realistically, I'm laying on a mat in my underwear, sweating, puking, probably shitting my pants.
Yeah.
But in my mind, I'm out and about having the toughest conversations I've never wanted to have with the people that I've never wanted to have them with.
Yeah.
And he says, when you have those conversations with those people, they know you're there.
Right.
So I can't remember the one gentleman that I read about. So he has the conversation, goes to his father, goes to his mom, goes to all this stuff. And then he visited apparently 20 people in these 3 days. And when he got near the end of the list, the actual people he was talking to would call him out. They'd be like, really? I'm 19th on the list? Apparently we're okay then.
Yeah, yeah.
But so then I reverted to myself. I'm like, if I had to do that in my situation, I don't know what would come up. And I'm horrified for what would. Because, like I've touched on before, I think I'm easy breezy and I have everything made in the shade.
Yeah.
And if maybe, you know, not necessarily I'm going to fly to Peru next month and have an ayahuasca ceremony, but something along those lines might be what it takes for me to realize what's missing.
Yeah.
And I still don't think much is missing, but that's so crazy. So what I was getting to is you went about this naturally, which is the most amazing thing. Like, you didn't have ayahuasca, you didn't have peyote, you didn't, you know, brush up against an acacia bush on your fucking scooter. You did it with your own mind and your own chi, and that's...
But it's hard to explain, because at least if you go through that experience and you say, well, I smoke this drug, that's supposed to happen. But when you're alone in another country experiencing these things that you've never experienced, nor are you... Like, the thing was, it's not like I've been that different spiritual person all my life that's been, you know, searching for this. It hit me, and it hit me over top of the head without me even wanting it, right? And that's a scary place to be, is to be like, I'm not even searching for this. Why am I seeing? Why am I feeling all these things?
That's the best time for it, because if you're prepared for it, you're going to have preconceived notions about it.
But what I would say to you is you're capable of it. We're all capable of it. It's just how much shit you have to go through to get to that point.
I think
to do the drug, and I've, you know, I think a lot of people have tried it and are getting good experience.
Outrageous.
Great, good for it, you know?
And like I've always said before, whatever works for you, if you want to do it Zach's way or do it, you know, like some of the, you know, people with addictions or, you know, professional athletes trying to do it, or if you're just fucking ignorant like me and think you're perfect.
Yeah. But I, you know what I would love is to find a way to integrate this into our world. You know, but
and that's a tough thing, because Like myself, I'm extremely closed-minded about it.
Right. And but if there was a place in Banff that you could go to and have this experience, I don't know. Like, I feel like it would attract people that are already there, that are already a little far out there, not so grounded and that sort of thing. How do you get it to people that could really benefit it? Don't know they need it.
Yeah.
And be open to it. And you know what? I've been battling that for months since I've been home, trying to figure out how do I walk into, you know, the TELUS customer service people that deal with people yelling at them all day, and they're just looking for a way to release some of this energy, all this pent-up stuff, putting a smile on their face every day and trying to deal with stuff when inside they're just boiling, and all they're looking for is an outlet. And an outlet that doesn't involve going to the bar and getting drunk and getting a fight, or it doesn't mean coming home and yelling at your spouse for not having dinner ready. There's got to be an outlet for this because, you know, we're not that monk that lives in the bush and you don't have to worry about, you know, just eating, sleeping, and meditating. Yeah, you have life and family and all that stuff, you know? So, but to find that simple way, and it's probably an age-old question, and I'm just new to it, so it seems just so interesting to me, but there's got to be something that you can implement into your life. And for me, it is, like I have, like with Pranic Healing, I've really connected with the type of healing that it does, but it's not just about healing other people. It's about putting a dedicated practice into your life on a daily basis, and it's really, really easy. 5 minutes, 5-10 minutes, you want to dedicate that morning, noon, night, sitting in your car, waiting at the bus stop, whatever, you can do it anywhere. And for me, it's been the difference maker. But not everyone can buy into the same thing, nor is everybody's path the same, you know? Like we were talking about before, you know, there's so many different paths that you can go on, but to find your zone. But the key is consistency and to stick with it, right?
And the easiest thing that I think you could segue it into is, like, yeah, you are exactly right. You can't, in modern day, you can't do that. I can't unplug for 2 weeks and go do things. You know, everyone has lives. They have mortgages. They have families. They have commitments. But start a process like this with something you're interested in, something you're passionate about.
Yeah.
You know, and without even knowing it, we're doing it now with this.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is as healing for us as hopefully it is to share other information with other people, right? So, yeah. But I would see it. I would see it. So in this place at Jurong, because they actually put me on a Bangkok media would come up because they wanted to talk about my experience there because it's not typical how explosive this was for me. And I'm probably not doing a good job or justice of explaining my experience, but people would come up, and then I started actually training people and coaching people for meditation when they would come up. So these stressed out Bangkok businessmen would come up to Chiang Mai for 4 days, 3 nights, and I'd have them in the temple, I'd have them in the pyramid, and we'd go through this. And they would have this really intense emotional outburst, and we would feel so good about it. And, you know, I'd follow up with them in a couple of weeks later, and things went back to normal, you know? And it's 4 days, 3 nights of these really amazing things. And that's, you know, these workshops and seminars are great, but you get back and you've got no plan. You've got nothing. And I would say, well, what do you expect? Like, you know, it's like going on a diet for 4 days and then going back to McDonald's. Well, you're not probably going to get where you want to be.
You're learning the tools. Like, you can only put so many fucking tools in your shed if you don't have that transition to make it, you know, realistic to day-to-day living.
Yeah.
When do you leave for San Fran? Are you going? Do you go?
Yeah, I'm supposed to go in August. And I'm just trying to figure out if that's my path.
You are Bruce Lee.
Huh.
Do you know what you're going to do? I can totally see it. Like, when you're in San...
You know, that's the first and last time anyone will ever confuse me from Bruce Lee. Right.
Dude, you're going to go there, and you're going to share some of these stories with some of those people. Hopefully, you'll be tuning in right now. And people are going to want you to help them.
Yeah.
And that's all it's going to take. And that's going to be your avenue to transition it into your day-to-day life.
Yeah. Is this a prediction?
Yeah.
I like it.
Dude, I think it's going to happen. I can see myself fucking flying out there with baby Z.
Yeah.
On a little holiday. And
yeah.
Having an eye-opening experience of my own.
It's a cool town. It's really a cool town. But see, this is... I feel like this is your path too. We're just having a bromance over here right now.
Don't mind us.
Yeah. But this is your path, and this is, you know, that's the thing that I actually loved about it is I felt like I had to go to the most remote places in Lao to have this enlightening experience. And yet when I came home and started hanging out here and I found pranic healing here, I was like, wow, this is actually it. And it's in the Northeast in Calgary, you know, like I was just like, what, you know, like I didn't have to go to, you know, China to try and look for this place, you know?
And like, that's the good thing about where we live, any big cities, you can get, it's a fucking melting pot of anything. And that's why that probably works so well in Bangkok. Bangkok, what do they call it? Like the green mango. It's like the New York of fucking Asia. Like, there's fucking stressed out businessmen everywhere. If you take this to like New York and LA and find some, you know, like-minded, open individuals. Yeah, it'd be crazy.
But what from, I think, and everybody has to go through their own path, but when I was there, I think I said this before, I kept saying like, oh, I love being at the healing buffet because I would go try this and I'd go try this. And I would do 6 things in one day, you know, any from a feng shui class to you know, emotion freedom technique to you know, whatever it is, some type of meditation. And yet I did that consistently for months on end. How do you know which one's working? How do you know which one you're connecting to? Because all you're doing is just running from one thing to another. And I'm like, I don't want to waste any time. I want to figure this out. I've only got a year to, you know, you get that kind of clock going. You're like, I have to be figured out and healthy and clear-minded by the end of this time. And you know what? It makes it more confusing, And so to kind of pick up and just do, like you asked that question last week about doing something, a lot of things good or one thing. That's why I was just like, you know, for me, I needed to do that. I needed to go through all those different types, studying under 20 different teachers to find one thing in Northeast Calgary that works for me. But if I didn't, if I would have gone there first, when I first got sick and I went over there, I would have been like, I bet there's something better out there.
Right.
But after trying all these things, you're like, wow, this is really good. This really resonates with me, you know? But you need to go through that of trying all those different things. But at the same time, you're like, if you do too many things... And we were talking about that before. If you don't dedicate yourself to one thing and just practice... I think you asked me last week, how many different things are you doing? I'm just doing one thing. Just doing one thing and just do it one thing well.
And that's the one thing that... And New Year's resolutions are corny is... all, but one, probably 2 or 3 years ago, one of my New Year's resolutions was to slow down. It's probably no surprise to anyone now that I'm very energetic and I do a lot of things very fast and a lot of the time, and I do get scatterbrained. So that's the one thing I've tried wholeheartedly to do. It's not necessarily like I'm going to walk slower, I'm going to notice this tree when I walk from the bus station to work. It's just do things with more integrity, do them. Actually, fuck it, do them slower.
Yeah.
Slow shit down.
Yeah.
And I think I read it in one of my books. It was saying how if you've ever heard a person say, holy fuck, it's May. And people, probably 300 people have said it today in the world.
Yeah.
How is it May already?
Yeah.
And I truly believe that is a key indicator of, you know, just not being mindful and not slowing down. You should notice that it's May. You should say, oh, it's Sunday.
Yeah.
I get to have dinner with my mom. Oh, it's Monday. You know, I'm going to have to put my head down and work hard. Oh, it's Wednesday. I'm going golf for the guys. Like, if you slow things down and be mindful and try to be more, and I'm basically giving myself a lecture here because I'm the worst at that, is try and make things more regimented and just, like, try and get more, and this is just my fucked up vocabulary, just get stoked on the little things.
Yeah.
Like, I get stoked to come here. I'm stoked to have my first coffee in the morning. Like, slow things down, be more mindful. Fucking think, listen, and feel.
Okay, awesome. But I'm gonna call you out on something. Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's a struggle I had because I think we're both, you know, we can both be jacked up on Mountain Dew from time to time. You know, we get a little like listening to the way I talk. When I start talking about things that I'm passionate about, it just boils up, and I think the same is true for you. And I remember coming back like, okay, you know, don't get, you know, the idea was not to have because I was the constant wave, really big highs and really big low, you know, and I wanted to be here, you know, some friends of mine, they're always there. And I'm like, oh, I want to be that, you know, you don't get too high or too low.
Right, but then steady Eddie.
Yeah. But then, so when I came back, I wouldn't get, so if we would have done this when I first got back, I would have talked like this and I would have been a lot more calm and I would have, you know, not been... When I talked about meditation or it was an experience and I enjoyed it and, you know, but I was a lot more, But I felt like I wasn't being true to who I am. If this is what comes out of me, why am I trying to not, why am I trying to contain it? Why am I trying, why do I need to be that monk that walks with his hands behind his back and moves really slow and be, you can be aware, but you can also be yourself. And so the reason that I say that is because you are this energetic over, you know, very rambunctious guy that's got all this energy. People are attracted to that. And to be somebody that's just going to bring it down, I agree with you. I think you need, you know, that kind of mental clarity for that sort of thing. But be who you are too, you know, and not trying to be because if you were meant to live a slower paced life, that's what you would have done as a kid.
Yeah.
And you were insane as a kid, yeah. You know? So be who you are, but also, I guess, you know what? I shouldn't give you advice for things that I haven't been able to put into my life, but I just think to be clear that always wanting to be something else or trying to change it, and forgetting, hey, this is who I am right now, and to be aware and happy with that and be like, you know, it's okay if I'm not the most calm dude in the
city, yeah.
You know? I don't know. Am I wrong?
No. Yeah. I
am wrong.
No, you're not wrong. Because I totally agree with you. Like, all cockiness aside, I wouldn't be as good of a salesman as I am if I'm not this fucking energetic.
Yeah.
And I'm extremely cocky at rocking fucking wedding speeches and job interviews, and I feel comfortable in the energetic social
situation. So you're in that situation and you're like, nope, Blaine, calm it down, you know, don't get too high. So you say the wedding speech and a lot more, you know, and that's probably not true. There's a hybrid there, right?
Yeah.
So you can be you when you want to be, but I'm just trying to take it to an extreme.
Yeah, level, no, I understand right? that. And I guess certain aspects, I don't want to like change, but everyone acts differently at work. Right. So like if you see me at the fire hall, I'm exactly the way I am right now.
Right.
Like energetic, like even on calls, you know, obviously I'm, you know, like well behaved and professional and know what I'm doing. And because I am all of those things, I can still be myself. I can still be energetic. I can still, you know, be that positive. But I still think there's certain times in your life when, or I shouldn't say your life or anyone's life, when my life, when I could tone it down.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
But on the same flip side of things, I want to be this energetic and this positive and this happy when I'm sleep deprived on 4 hours sleep and I have baby puke on my face.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's an extremely positive role model.
Yes.
For baby Z.
Yes. Exactly. And then I think that's just to be who you are, right? Like, again, Full House comes in with like their piano music.
You know what I'm stoked for? I'm stoked for podcast 57.
Huh.
Baby's almost here.
Yeah.
Plus podcast 58.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
What have I done?
Here are some stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, I'm so stoked. Do you watch Modern Family?
Yeah.
Phil Dunphy.
Yeah.
That's who I want to model my fatherhood after. Somewhat ignorance is bliss, yeah. But just a fun-loving,
but
happy
just
guy.
Just loves life, right?
Like, fucking Luke, what do you want to do?
Yeah, yeah.
Let's invent a self-flipping pancake with popcorn kernels in it. You know, I want to do that dumb shit. I want to have a day off with my kid and have my wife come home, smile, and roll her eyes.
Yeah, and then that's a good day. Yeah,
that's a great day. So I look forward to that.
Awesome, man.
Okay. Yeah. Well, thanks for that story, dude. Actually, Zach was a little nervous about that story, but.
Well, it's just
no. It is. It is personal, yeah. But and you did you even filtered it a bit.
Yeah.
There was more that you told me, and you know, I respect you for sharing that with everyone, dude, and I appreciate it. But if research everything Zach looked into, and obviously you know, in extreme situations, we're not telling people to you know go to Chiang Mai and do this. Yeah. But you know, if you are looking for something else, if you know there's something missing in your life, or you know you're looking for healthy alternatives to a simpler life and better living, then by all means fucking look them up, even like the Google machine, fucking YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, read testimonials on people going to these places. If they've learned a little bit, you can probably learn a lot.
Yeah, so. absolutely. And know that nothing's original anymore. Nothing's original.
Yeah.
Everybody puts their own flavor on it, but if you know that nothing's original, then you're okay with experiencing something that someone's just come up with that maybe not suits exactly what you feel like it's going to be, or, oh, I've done that before, or I've read that before, all right, and you put your, you know, just experience it and see how it goes. So.
And the sweetest thing, I think some of my favorite days, you know, my favorite days are when you have nothing planned.
Huh.
You know how amazing that is?
Yeah.
Like, I've touched on this before, but like working like 2.5 or 3 jobs, when you have like a Tuesday to do absolutely nothing,
yeah,
that's the fucking best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
So I'm a firm believer of personal health days.
Yeah, absolutely.
So take a personal health day next week.
Yeah.
I'll fucking take one and just sit there and just, even if it's just, you know, watching mindful TV, sleep till 10, have a nap, work out,
yeah,
have a bath.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Salt water bath.
Salt water bath.
Best thing you can do before you go to bed.
I'm actually trying to cut back on the baths.
Oh, you're a big bath guy?
I don't live in a house right now, but in my former home, I lived there for 3 years. I probably showered there twice.
You're all bath?
I shower at the gym, and I shower at the fire hall, and I bathe.
Nice.
Dude, it's
fucking... That's huge. I would love to be a bath guy.
It's like 25 minutes, unplug.
But it's like, oh, I gotta go draw myself a bath. And is it like, it's like it's a whole thing. It's like, I'm gonna just jump in the shower. You're like, no, I'm gonna draw myself a bath.
Well, fucking, then I just called myself out on being too fast and fucking being a scatterbrain.
Good for you.
The baths are the unplug.
Awesome, man.
But
awesome.
Fucking, this is, I'm a heterosexual male. Red wine, candles, bubbles, Lana Del Rey, pump it and unplug your brain.
Yeah.
Unofficial homework may or may not work for you.
I would love to do that. I would love to try that because I've been trying to set aside time to have a bath because all I've read about is Epsom salt water baths, just such a great way before you go to bed.
And the only reason I said I'm supposed to cut back on baths because it really dries out your skin.
Coconut oil.
Zach's a coconut king.
Coconut oil. I'm that guy. So after yoga, after I've sweat myself to death, I'm the guy that pulls out the coconut oil like and just bathes myself in it in the dressing room, and it's kind of awkward. But coconut oil in after that would be really cool. And you did research on coconut water too, right?
Yeah, I'm just trying to find a good tasting one.
Yeah. The ones not from concentrate, like the Zico, Z-I-C-O, or
yep,
whatever it is, it's from concentrate.
That's the pumped one. That might even be a Coca-Cola one.
It could be, yeah.
Like
it looks like it, because it's
yeah,
in co-op. And, but
yeah,
the Buddha, whatever, it's, they sell it at Community, and there's another one there. And if you just look on the side, and if they're not from concentrate, cool.
Sweet, man.
Yeah.
Okay, friends, thanks for tuning in. Hope you appreciate it. Any closing words?
I guess we'll talk after Toastmasters.
Oh, yeah, Toastmasters. So fucking wish us luck, friends.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't fucking burn. I think they'll like us. Young
1960, vibrant. They've got some the legacy. The legacy of
There's crow's feet in that
yeah,
room.
Yeah.
And it's, oh, business casual.
What is that?
I'm just going to wear a cardigan and some nice khakis.
I was going to wear a tie with shorts, but we'll see.
Tie with shorts? Are you Homer Simpson?
Biz cash, you know?
Biz cash.
Yeah.
All right.
Right on.
Do you remember my quote?
Yes. It's not why or how, it's what and how many.
How many?
Blaine Zimmer.
Boom, bam.
Blaine Zimmer.
Thank you, friends.